Right, so that's Jimmy's reel nine. Jim, so you've just picked up these packs of food and you're going back to find your Carden and Lloyd.
Yeah, and they put them on a jeep for me and took me back up the road and dropped me off at this cave that was in the bank. And, of course, I very soon opened one of these packs and had a good tuck in. And the day after, this American column was pulling out. And as they came up the road, the jeep stopped and the officer said, "You all right, bud?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he saw and said, "Hello, give this guy some more rations if you come past." And this truck came up and they threw another box off. So when I eventually got pulled out and I got back to the battalion, I had quite a load of food.
Yeah. And it was good stuff, was it?
Oh, it was good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff that you'd not seen before. No. Was there any Nescafe in there?
There was packs of these little, they were like a little, like an after eight.
Yeah.
They were little packs like.
Yeah. So you showed those to the boys when you got back?
Yeah.
They must have been impressed by that, I suppose.
Oh, yes. And passed them all around.
Yeah.
Everybody got a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're back with your mates and...
I was back with the battalion and we finished up in a huge place. I think it was something Royal Ardennes or something.
Yeah.
I know I got some bedding and pillows with a gold crested crown on.
It was I think the book says it was something to do with the King of the Belgians.
Yeah. And we was in there and then we went up further and we was in a chateau. And from there, I came under the command of the second in command, Major Griffin.
Yeah.
And the battalion had gone into the attack, and we was all used for taking rations up and ammunition and petrol and everything.
Yeah.
Because we were going up one night. We were going up one night and I had this company CQ Mess and his cooks with me to go up to feed their company. And one of the cooks had slipped me a tin of Bartlett pears. And as we were going up, it was night time, and we found out that the Germans had infiltrated round the back of the battalion. So we were playing tig with German SP and that. In the forest.
So you're saying they've infiltrated round the back of HQ Company?
Yeah, they come round the back of the battalion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we decided to lie doggo, you know, and wait to see what.
Yeah.
Was happening with that.
Yeah. But you weren't in your Carden and Lloyd at this stage, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, still Carden and Lloyd. You're still going to the
forward companies with food, you were saying, but you're still using the Cardinal Lodge to do that. Yeah.
And I was sat there opening this tin and eating Bartlett Purrs off the end of my bayonet.
Nice. That's not bad.
When the CQMS said, what are you doing up there? Why don't you come down here with us? And I said, oh, you're all right.
But the road, what were the conditions of the roads?
Oh, the roads were...
Because you slid off once, hadn't you?
I slid off once, and like they were really treacherous. They were more or less like skating rinks, really.
So was it just ice, or was it snow as well?
Well, there was snow and ice.
Mm.
And the thing was that when we eventually got up with the battalion to stay with them, up like in the forest and that, making little fires and sticks over the top to dry your socks.
Yeah. Did you have any special clothing at that stage for the cold and for the snow?
No.
No.
Normal issue.
Yeah.
The only thing we had, and they were really, well, if you took them off, they stood up themselves.
Yeah.
And it was like a huge waterproof overcoat.
Mm. Mm.
But they were warm.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
But, of course, we'd all been issued with leather jerkins and things like that. But it amused me to see these little fires with the socks.
Yeah.
On the top to dry your socks.
That's right. What about any fighting or battles up there? Do you remember any of that happening?
Well, yeah, when they went up for to attack Rindemont, I remember setting off, and the field was just like a sheet of ice. And you sort of went halfway up and then slid two-thirds of the way back,
But the infantry attacked the village, presumably.
Oh, yeah, the infantry attacked the village. We had there was one of my pals from the anti-tank platoon, well, two of them, actually, from the anti-tank platoon were killed there.
Yeah.
One was a sergeant, Jackie Barr, and the other lad was called Smith.
Mm.
And what it was, they were in this position, and I think it was a farmhouse or some sort of a outbuilding, and this lad Smith, he'd been put on the graveyard shift again, on the gun, you know, like midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning sort of thing. And he was arguing with Jackie Barr about, did he say something about, this is 3 or 4 nights on the run I've been on this, about what about a change? And this SP came up and fired, and it came right through the wall and killed the pair of them.
Do you remember any other sort of action there, that's where people may have been killed or around the time of Grimby Mons?
Just as the attack was beginning to go in, a salvo of shells hit Battalion HQ. And the adjutant was killed, and not sure whether it was one or two more. One was a Scots lad.
Stewart. Stewart's his name was.
Frank Stewart. I've been in touch for a number of years with his family.
Oh, right.
His sisters and everything. And he was killed, and Sergeant Crowley. Alan Wildgoose, the adjutant, he was killed. Tom and Avery were wounded.
Yes, because that was around HQ, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That? So
yeah,
I guess you must have been quite close to this at that time. Any other thoughts on that area or the Ardennes, Jim?
Well, it was far better in relief when we got in the village to get some cover and that. But and then after that, when you read things about history, the 51st Island Division get a lot of praise for the Ardennes. They get it when it was over.
Because you were down there as part of Corps or something, weren't you?
We went in with, to me, we went with 30 Corps.
I think it probably was 30 Corps.
Yeah, we went with 30
Corps. Yeah. So where do we go from there? So where do you go after Grimby, Monts and the Ardennes?
The Ardennes. We came back from the Ardennes. And we went to a place called Wee.
Yeah,
H-U-Y. We went there, and I think we were there about a week, if not more.
What was the object of that, Jim?
Well, the thing was to let us recuperate, and also to get reinforced vehicles and ammunition and all that. Not ammunition, guns. And because whilst we were there, I was sent with some others down to Wav. To pick fresh carriers up and stuff like that. And when we got there...
Where was this place, Wav, Jim?
It's not so far from Brussels.
Got it, okay. Belgium. All right, yeah.
It's on the road down from the Ardennes, And when we got there, these vehicles, of course, hadn't come. So the police took us round and billeting us on people. Well, there were three of us. And they put us in a farm. Well, this farm was the darkest, dismalest, miserable looking place I've ever seen in my life. And the farmer and his wife looked like two really big vagabonds, you know. So me and these other two, one was a full corporal, and I don't just recollect what unit he was, because like we'd gone down as a divisional party.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't like this place, Jim, I don't think much of this. I said, no, no, I do. He said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to get a picker kit up and we'll tell them we'll be back. We're going to look for something. So we picked it up and we went to walk. And we went and we picked the poshest district of Wath. Oh. Knocked on this door. A young girl about 18 came. We told her I had three soldiers somewhere to sleep. Oh, I call Mama. She spoke English. Anyway, this old lady came and she says, yes, can I help you? So, oh, yes, can you put three? Oh, yes, yes, come in, come in. And the thing was that this woman, the mother, was the principal of the girls' high school in Wath, and her daughter was a student at Brussels University.
Right. How are we spelling that name, Jim? Wath.
W-A-V-R-E.
Okay, thanks.
And her father, the husband, when the Germans occupied them, he was the mayor. And they'd taken him to Germany and he died in...
Oh, I see.
He died in Belsen or something.
Concentration camp somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, they put us up and they really looked after us and fed us well. But there was one amusing occurrence while we were there. They came one night and, we are going to a friend, Prima Food, Lekker, you know. So, they should have been all right. We went with them, and what a house it was.
Yeah.
You know, and we went in. Huge dining table and stacks of people, you know, they were, there must have been about 15 or 20.
All local people, were they?
All local people.
Yeah.
And they were all, blacker, you know.
Yeah, looked well.
But anyway, the next thing, we were all sat round. This door opened and they came in with this huge, like a silver salver, you know, the hooded lid.
Yeah.
They fetched it and plonked it at the middle of the table. And this bloke, he was either the chef or the head of the house or something. And he pulled this lid off. It was full of sliced, cooked potato.
Yeah.
With a bloody sardine on it.
So this big meal that you guys, you expected.
And everybody were, sardine, And we thought, good God, we throw them damn things away, you know.
So did the carriers eventually come?
The carriers eventually came.
But because there are three of you, aren't there?
Yeah.
So you've gone to get three carriers presumably.
Yeah. And they eventually came, and we took them back. And if I remember right, when we got back to the battalion, there were no one.
Well,
that's not my. We were in a school with no one.
Yeah. And that was preparing, training and so on for Reichwald.
The Reichwald.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we carried on the training for the Reichwald, and when it was due to start, we went up into the army, and we were in like a garage or something, and the shells came through the roof, and there were one or two killed and wounded there, because I think the provost sergeant was blinded or something like that, and one good thing I remember about that episode, whilst we were there, the Canadians had rigged up a huge marquee, and you could queue up there, go in, and get a big bun with a big hamburger on, a huge chunk of mother's apple pie and custard, and a pot of coffee.
So you're in that queue, were you?
Yeah, and you'd no sooner had one lot than you went in queue and got in again.
That was in Helmond. Did you say?
No, that was in Nijmegen.
Nijmegen. Just prior to Reichwald.
Just prior to the Reichwald. We went out then from Nijmegen, and I think we went to, or we were near, a place called Frasholt. Frasholt. And we were there when the barrage started for the Reichwald, and we were right under the guns. They were bombed before we set off.
Because that was a pretty big barrage,
that
wasn't it?
That was one of the biggest barrages of the war.
Yeah. What was the weather like at this stage, Jim?
Wet. Raining hard, and really, really wet and miserable.
Because it had been snowy down at the Ardennes.
A month earlier.
You're now into early February, aren't you?
Yeah. And I still had the Cardinal Lloyd in the Reichwald. It was just after we'd gone out of the Reichwald that went, and I got a Windsor Carrier, which was a Canadian version of our Grenville tank,
right.
Only bigger.
Right. But Reichwald starts because the Reichwald Forest is in fact in Germany, isn't it?
Yeah.
So at that stage you've just crossed from Holland into Germany.
Yeah. And we, once again there, I had a job, more or less, what I'd had in the Ardennes. I was put under the command of Major Whiteside, or Captain Whiteside, as he was then. I just don't know, he was either Major or Captain.
Yeah.
I was put under his command, And my job was purely and simply fetching ammunition and petrol rations and everything up from all echelon.
But that was hard, wasn't it? Because of the road conditions.
Oh, yeah. It was hard work. Because I can always remember that we'd been up in to the battalion, and I mean, you're talking about your tracks were completely under mud and water.
Mm.
Completely.
Mm.
And we set off back, me and Major Whiteside, and it was about 5:30 in the morning when we got back to A echelon that was on the side of the road by Threshold.
Mm.
And I parked the carrier and we went in, and of course the coach went running to Major Whiteside. Oh, Major Whiteside, your breakfast.
Yeah.
And for a plate of flour, he turned around and says, "Feed in before me. He's been working all night."
Good.
I've never been sat down beside him.
Mm, good. But how did you get through the forest, though, Jim? Or didn't you actually go through the forest?
Well, the thing was that you were going straight through the forest, but there were bulldozing trees down, making ways through.
I see. So you were actually in the forest?
Well, it was in the forest, yes. Mm. We went straight through the forest.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. I mean, the 51st Army Division, they said they went through the right road. They went on the right hand side. Mm.
No, I mean, I know that the 1st Battalion East Lancs infantry went through the forest.
Yeah.
But because of the state of the forest, I wondered how vehicles managed.
We went through.
Yeah.
Because there was roads through.
Okay.
But they were just mud tracks, that's all.
Yeah.
And the state of the weather.
Yeah.
They were just...
Yeah.
Well, being honest with you, it was like being... coming up the beach again.
Mm.
Because...
Yeah.
You were really submerged with all mud and water and everything.
What about the state of the forest because of the barrage?
Well, the trees were shattered and blown about and hanging all over the place.
Mm.
And I remember one time, see, it was part of the Siegfried Line. And there were huge blockhouses in there.
When you say blockhouses, what? Concrete?
Concrete, yeah.
Mm.
And I can remember that there was something held us up. And me and Major Whiteside went in this bunker. And there was a lot of people in. And I went to sleep, stood up against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you'd been ferrying back and forth during the night with food and so on, I suppose you were pretty tired at that stage.
And then there's another thing that I remember, and yet I talked to other people and nobody seemed to know much about it, but while we were going through the Rashwell Forest, we came to one part that was a clearing, and it was a German ammunition dump, aerial bombs.
Mm.
And they brought two or three tonners up from A echelon, and we had to load them on, and they took them away out of it.
And you had to help load those up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then another night, of course, this was as we were more or less getting in. Me and the RSM's batman Dugga Dugga. And we made a fairly big one. Made it deep. Put a timber lid on. Covered it up with earth. And then me and the RSM's batman had to go back to A Echelon for ammunition. So we went back, we got ammunition, and we came back. And when we got back, the RSM Sergeant Major and a sniper sergeant. We're sleeping, they still got it, weren't we?
Yeah.
So the RSM's back when old Daddy Earth, he was about 43 or 44. Big grey mustache. And oh, he's